own passions, our own desire for power, whether it be to build airplanes that can drop bombs on people, or whether it be the atom bomb itself, or whether it be the way that all this rapidity of transportation and the use of energy is used for so many purposes that are dark. And we could go on, and I'm sure you could as well. The greatest area is in the area of thought. Great insights growing, especially in the Western world, and since about the, 14th century or so. Great advances in thought, particularly philosophy. And along with them, great aberrations, taking insights and just twisting them enough that they have led to a world now, the first in the history of the whole world, that has no recourse to anything beyond ourselves. The only way you can argue to many people about abortion is to show its practical consequences, a principle of life, of human life. Right? It goes beyond what they're capable of. And this has produced great disaster in this world. It's interesting dialogue between Joseph Ratzinger and Jürgen Habermas, who's still alive, a great atheist philosopher and a very noble man. And they are discussing the destruction facing Europe because of a refusal to acknowledge some higher principles than just the law. Because you see, if the highest principle is the law, then the state is God. Abortion, the state can declare who lives and who dies. That's God who does that, not the state. Now that, you see, grew out of a heightened appreciation of the role of the human being in the act of knowledge. It's take us a long time to go through that, but that was the wheat. And the weeds, subjectivity of modern thinking, and the inability to move beyond, even as now we have Sarkozy, I wish him the best, they're the president, the new president of France, who is trying to establish a Christian vision, the vision that made Europe great, which was Christian, without necessarily having recourse to God. But there's a vision about humanity, which would be a principle you could appeal to. And Habermas thinks the same. It's possible, perhaps, to inherit that vision of humanity without direct recourse to God. That would be recovering a good deal of the weeds that have been sown. Now, there's a very interesting remark in our Lord's parable. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came. Now this applies not only to this sort of worldwide situation we're in right now, it applies to our lives. In our own lives, Satan sows weeds among the wheat to pervert it, to weaken it, to cripple it. While everyone was asleep. How did that happen? That when all of this began in the 14th century, that nobody, when this notion of this supremacy, centrality of the human mind in articulating truth or in establishing truth, so that the mind is the norm of the truth, which is what rationalism is. Where were the people who were not asleep? This was a great intellectual challenge. Where were the saints, the mystics, the theologians? There were many holy people living completely contradictory to that, but their vocation wasn't to articulate it on an intellectual level. But that was the vocation of some, and they were asleep. They either ran away from the conflict and kept talking among themselves, or they capitulated to this view. And at that moment, the church let the human race down. And we're still suffering the consequences. One of the enormous eternal consequences of Vatican II has been to stand up once again for the objectivity of truth and the reality of revelation guiding us to understand who Jesus Christ really is. There were many men there who were not asleep. Father Cardinal, finally, Henri de Lubac, for one. Great men of prayer, of purity of life, purity of heart. Minds who were vigorous and well-trained and worked hard all their life long. And they produce these documents, which are still trying to be co-opted. I mean, every day it's a fight. My point is, now what about our own lives? Are we asleep? Are we watchful? How many times has our Lord told us, be awake, be watchful? How many parables? The virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom and they fall asleep. He's taken them. When they wake up, they're out of oil and they run to get the oil and they miss the party. How many like that? What are the factors in our lives that keep us asleep? Vanity. Pride. Sensuality. Attachment to our own ideas. Lack of obedience to God and to those in the church who have the right to tell us the direction to go. We're asleep. Can you imagine when that one man, Paul VI, against the advice of nearly all his advisors except Karol Wojtyła, said there is no such thing as contraception? Suppose he had been asleep. You could be darn sure the Lord would have woken him up because he's the Pope. Or let him die and get somebody else in there. I mean, it wouldn't happen because he has a special protection. But all the world was asleep. All his advisors were saying, now we have to understand how we understand the nature. We're understanding deeper things about nature, which we are. That's the wheat. I mean, look at all the couples who can have children because we have understood this whole rhythm of the woman's body and have natural family planning. That's not natural family avoidance of children. That's natural family planning. How many children are in this world because that advance in science? That's the wheat. What's the weeds? Contraception. And that one man stood there and said, it will not be. The Catholic Church will not allow this. It will not teach this because it is against the law of God's nature. The nature that God has given to human beings. And we will not do it. Well, it split the church. It split this diocese. But he hung fast because he was not asleep. How many people said, well, how many bishops? How many priests? Oh, you can ignore that. You know, that's poor old Paul VI. He's, you know. And the disaster, the weakness, from that we went to pedophilia. Once we start to get dull on the meaning of sexuality, look what happens. And now the church, poor church, by the mercy of God, in the strength of Christ, is trying to recover. Why? Because we are, as Paul says, the pillar of truth in this world. And we have to die for that. We cannot afford to be asleep because the enemy is always trying to sow weeds among the wheat. Always. And it's mostly in the area of truth. And that's why, perhaps right now more than any other time, there's a call to obedience. Obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to the teaching authority of the Church. Obedience to guide us out of this mess and to make us what the Church is supposed to be, a standard of truth and a welcoming home of salvation. We could take the time today to look at our own lives. Where are there wheat in my life? And where are the weeds? Trying to pervert that wheat in my life, in my family's life. And what does it come through? Pride. I don't have to listen to the Church. I mean, that Pope, he's a nice, smart German, but I mean, like, here we are. We got to live. Don't do that. Pray. I'm not saying if he says it's going to rain tomorrow, you all got to fall down and say it's going to rain tomorrow. You don't know. You all know what I'm talking about. But do you listen? Are you in touch with that deep undertow of the Holy Spirit that's moving this Church where it belongs? Do you know what he's saying? Have you read what he's saying? Have you read what the bishops are saying? Are you listening? As Thomas once says, you know, we live by the revelation in the Scripture and not by any other revelation, if there be any. Only the revelation in the Scripture as it is understood in the Church. As it is understood in the Church. So look at your life. How much effort do you put into trying to find out what is the Holy Spirit teaching? Do you know we belong to a church, the body of Christ? Do you know what that means? Do you know that is the haven of salvation? Do you understand that? Let the Lord open up your mind. I tell you, you will gasp to see yourself standing on the edge of an abyss. And if it weren't for the mercy of God, falling right into it. Because I'm smarter than God. And I don't believe that the protector of the wheat, you see, is the Roman Catholic Church. There's plenty of wheat outside the Church. Plenty. But it too is protected by this same grace, indirectly. Think about it. Think about it. And look in your own life, your own moral life, your own mental life. Where can I see the weeds beginning to overtake the wheat? And beg the Lord to come and help spot the difference. So let's stand and pray.